Okay, this is the afternoon of October the 20th. Now, I want to talk to you now about certainty. I wonder what certainty has to do with this general situation of anchor point processing. You possibly have guessed, or you should know, where this process goes. This process of putting up anchor points, walking away from them, being in viewpoints, and so forth. Now, it goes into a very specific direction, and I might as well just give it to you right at the beginning, both Merrill's. You're working a PC up to the point where he can recover his own anchor points, which make him a part of the messed universe. You see, by theory, you would not be able to share the space of the messed universe unless you had at least four anchor points arranged as a tetrahedron out there in the messed universe. You'd have to have at least four, or you wouldn't be able to share this space. That is by theory. Supposing you find out by processing whether that's true. Trying to get back your anchor points is one of the toughest buttons that you'd ever care to run on a concept level. Because this has to do with all loss, and according to parascientology, would have to do with your effort to recover all the anchor points that you've strewn back on 74 trillion years of track. The reason why a person doesn't have a memory of a thing is he thinks he can't have the thing. You wonder why you can't remember past lives vividly. Well, you had an anchor point in any one of these past lives, and it immediately consisted of a body, and you're dependent upon it to have a brain, and that brain to think for you. And thinking, and part of thinking is remembering and forecasting what you should remember. All right. If that is the case, then it is very simple for you to envision that an individual's main effort would be in the direction of getting back his anchor points. This is registered in the fact that you find an occluded case hugging his anchor points in very close to him. How the hell is he ever going to recover his anchor points up at the corners of the messed universe if he's holding in every anchor point he's got close to his chest? Of course, that's the whole game. He'd be a very upset man if he really did recover his anchor points, which let him share this messed universe. So you'll only go into that echelon and fool with those anchor points at a level when he is able to put back anchor points as fast as he blows them up. Therefore, we have to tackle this whole thing on a gradient scale. Let a fellow handle all the anchor points of this life. Then let him handle all the anchor points immediately connected with Earth. Then let him handle them connected with the solar system. Then let him handle them immediate adjacent systems, because he has some in there. And then let him handle them on the basis of galaxies. And when he's handled them on the basis of galaxies, let him go on to handling as far out and as much as of space he can. You will immediately run into the eighth dynamic as the single most important barrier to the recovery of anchor points, because the eighth dynamic consists of God, and an inverted eight says God owns all space. So you see what we're trying to do and where we're trying to go. I don't care how big a thing it gets. Nothing to me. This universe one way or the other, if you blow it up, all right. Don't even have to bother giving me any warning. As a matter of fact, for the excellent reason that you won't blow it out. Never announced this technique till I hung a few more up there myself. But it's rather tough on your preclear going over the hurdles on any of this type of change and anchor point processing. This is all you're doing. Anchor point processing, you call it dimension point, change of position in space, increase of motion, increase of force, whatever you want to call these processes we're doing. It's rather tough on him because you're asking him to be the size he has to be in order to handle and control a body, and yet you are asking him to go out and do tremendous things with relationship to the recovery of anchor points, which are many, many times bigger, in essence, than Earth itself. Can he handle them? Oh, you don't think so at first. Same way with body lifting. You have to start in by lifting the little pinky. Now, when you lift that little finger, then you lift the next joint. And so you go on up the line of lifting the hand and lifting the arm. Therefore, you can recover with ease the penknife which you lost when you were a kid. And that was an anchor point. Uncle Ben gave it to you, and you're still trying to get that one back, or you're in apathy about getting it back. There are only two conditions. There's apathy about getting it back and can't get it back. We have one PC right here in class who is still trying to get his anchor points back. Not today, I don't think, or yesterday, but he was trying to get his anchor points back out of the last life. I think he was probably trying to fish the GE's anchor points out of the last life. Any moment we're going to get this GE into present time. Any moment. Probably he had some back there in the same line and same area, and these things went into a collusion and collision because the GE's anchor points are different than his own anchor points. I wouldn't evaluate this case, but I dare say that it appeared that there were a whole flock more anchor points that had to be recovered up to a certain point. And then all of a sudden, he didn't have to recover any more anchor points. The only thing that was lost there was some of the Thetan's anchor points were in collision with the GE's loss of anchor points. And when you cleared up the Thetan's loss of anchor points, the GE's loss of anchor points didn't matter because the GE's like a puppet. It follows through on almost everything with great ease. Therefore, this is a problem, then, of recovery of anchor points. Now, if you notice the phenomena when you're doing change processing of a person going out of the past and into the present on an area, you will understand what phenomenon we are trying to accomplish, recover, activate, work with. He slides from here to his hotel room, and it suddenly turns up that he lost his socks this morning, couldn't find them. Went under the bed and under the covers and into the drawers and so forth, and then remembered that he didn't have any socks. And finally dug them up out of the wastebasket. And this will turn up. Well, is he present time with regard to that hotel room? No, he isn't. But you run hotel room to the room he's in, to the hotel room to the room he's in, hotel room to the room he's in. You don't ask him to look for anything. You don't even really ask him for what's peeling off about the area. And I'm telling you about this particular hotel room for a very good reason. It isn't that you have to run a case at this low level. But this is your entrance point. So he starts in running the hotel room and running this room and running the hotel room and this room and the hotel room and this room. And the next thing you know, he's peeled off the socks. And when the bellboy was mean to him and the letter he got from the family that said he was crazy, anyhow, and irresponsible, and he's in present time with regard to the hotel room. He suddenly realized the hotel room is simply sitting over there. It's empty, and the maid didn't do a good job on it this morning. But there it is. That's all. It's just a hotel room. It isn't a hotel room with, quote, significance, unquote. Now, a hotel room with the ridges and facsimile still hung up in it is a hotel room with significance. It is not the present-time hotel room. The present-time hotel room has zero significance. It's just a hotel room. That's all. You start running a fella into a car and out of into this room and into the car and into this room and into this car, into the car and into this room and into another car and into that first car, and all of a sudden he's got himself all jammed up. There's roads, 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 roads. He keeps getting these goddamn roads. They keep coming in under him and above him and around. There's facsimiles, facsimiles. You run him and you run him and you run him and all of a sudden, boom. He finds out, he looks around, and he isn't any longer fooling around with roads. He's simply behind the wheel, theta-wise, of somebody else's car, and it's an old rattle trap at best, and he gets interested in the fact that its motor's got a cracked piston or something. Because what's the significance of his being in that car? There is no significance for him about being in the car except it's something to look at. That's the only thing the significance is. The significance has peeled away. All of his association with cars and his connection with cars has peeled away. Now, this doesn't mean it won't turn up about other classes of vehicles, and it doesn't even mean that it won't turn up about other cars. You start putting him in and out of a very fancy limousine, and several incidents may suddenly pick up there. It's a different class of cars entirely. See how this is? So, you start going around then into two or three objects, and in each case, the object has significance, has very little significance, has a lot less significance. It's an object. And you've answered the conditions of Q&A. It is an object. So anyway, you see what we're doing? We're peeling the significance off a geographical area. That's what we're doing. Now, you may get a fellow all stripped down of significance in this life. You start the roughing of putting him in a childhood home and putting him here and putting him in a childhood home and putting him here and putting him in a childhood home, and boy, that's... See, in present time, no. He sees that childhood home. He may not even realize he's doing this, but he sees that childhood home with its existing structure completely changed. It's way back to when he was a kid. He's got the same roof mocked up that it had when it was a kid. Maybe somebody's come along since, or a tornado or something, and changed the roof utterly. He doesn't see it with a new roof. He sees it with the old roof. Does this start explaining to you what aberration there is in theta vision? Guy mixes up the picture with the scene. Well, of course, the fact of the matter is you can only mix up the picture with a scene the way a miner mixes up fool's gold with real gold. Anytime anybody's seen any real gold, he never afterwards gets fooled with fool's gold. So he only had to do this for PC for a little while, and he'll suddenly begin to distinguish and differentiate like mad between the real universe and that. A lot of the people that you exteriorize right off the bat, they go out, and the air right around them is so, quote, full of significance, unquote, that they see it in entirely different, aberrated lines. They see it in distorted lines of all kinds and shapes and sizes. It's a weird-looking scene. They look up at the ceiling, and it's the ceiling of a hospital room. Can't be a ceiling of a hospital room because they're not in a hospital. Yet there it is. That's the ceiling. And it's mixed up with the rug that used to be in Papa's den. And the chairs are the chairs they used to have at Princeton. No, I beg your pardon. You've never exteriorized somebody who's been to Princeton. The point is, his vision is taken up with looking at a facsimile or an energy deposit. A facsimile or energy deposit, then, is full of significance. So any scene he sees is full of significance. Well, okay, if this is so full of significance, it's probably full of danger, too. All right, so this guy goes out of his head and comes back in again, and then he opens his eyes and he looks around and he all of a sudden notices that it's not a gold couch in the room, it's a green couch. He's immediately invalidated. Oh, he's sad now. He's found out he could make the same mistake, in spite of his processing, that he's been making for the last few trillion years, and he's sick of it. Which is to say, he gets out and looks at the facsimile and thinks it's present time and gets the two so mixed up that he tries to act in the facsimile the way he acts in present time, and it blows up on him. It's all very confusing. Now, a fellow who exteriorizes and doesn't do this in the immediate room will, if you process him far enough, do this at some point, some geographical location somewhere in the universe. That's a certain thing. He'll do it before he gets out of this life. That's a cinch. And so you've just got to break down what's the significance all the way on out by running change processing. You take it for all areas and all classes of things and so forth. Fortunately, it goes on a geometric progression, and you get more and more areas cleared the more areas you clear. So it goes with rapidity. What happens in each case? You simply peel off the facsimiles and start looking at what is. Now, you know the moment this happens. It's a case of knowing. It's not a case of guessing. You all of a sudden know you're looking at the hotel room. You're not looking at the significance of the hotel room. See, you're not looking at this morning's adventures or yesterday's breakfast. See? That's what it is. Well, that operation we call clearing. And clearing is wiping out the significance from a geographical area so that you can use it again as a playing field. That's all there is to it. That's clearing. So you have a relative scale of clearances. Is this fellow, this fellow's cleared on hotel rooms and houses and school rooms. He isn't cleared on automobiles, so on. It means that he still tangles up facsimiles with the present of automobiles. Got a brand new type of diagnosis happening, because you take those inverted eight and you'll find out that there's a class of things in terms of geography which go along with each one of them. So these classes of geographical locations, each one, every one has its own type of upset. And the mix-up is always the same mix-up. He confuses a facsimile with a present time observation. Now your thetan, where he's in really good operating condition, is so cautious that he feels whether or not the stove is hot before he touches the stove. In other words, he puts out a beam and takes a facsimile of a stove, comes back with the facsimile of a stove and tests it. Furthermore, he's very, very cautious, and he doesn't make an exact facsimile of a stove. He makes a facsimile of another kind of stove, so it won't be so hot. So that you hear some birds singing outside, you could say to any creeper, I don't care if he's head or anything, this is a funny thing, but this works, only he isn't going to do it unless you ask him to do it. You say, put an anchor point out there at those birds and bring it back and take a look at it. You know that anybody can do that just on command? Anybody, I don't care what daddy's case is or anything else. He'll bring it back and you'll take a look at it. They'll say it's not the same kind of birds. Yeah, he's sad about it. He didn't even dare make the same kind of birds. That's what he's sad about. These are the birds. He might have taken a facsimile of these birds, like you take a picture, another way of making a facsimile. He just mirrors it up on a bit of energy, and he brings it back and he changes it so that he suddenly won't be confronted by the man-eating pterodactyls that he is sure those pharaohs are outside the door. And that's the way he goes about it. Anybody can do that. You can do that right where you are right now, and I wouldn't advise you to go come hammering. Okay. Well, you should test it. Now you'll find somebody who goes out. You say, put out a viewpoint out there someplace in front of you, and then bring it back and take a look at it. And he'll say, my God, I've been sitting all these years in my grandmother's sewing basket. No, he hasn't. When you ask him to put out one of these beams, all he did, he didn't even bother really to put out a beam or take a picture of anything. He just turned over a piece of the blackness in front of him. You can take a case that is in a heavy state of occlusion, and you can just simply maybe reach out and start turning over pieces of blackness. He gets a different picture every time he does it. He's looking at the reverse side of these pictures. Oh, he's real cute, too. He'll turn these over endlessly. You can also make him do this, by the way. You can take the two pieces of blackness and hang it up to the two corners of the room and make it stay there without thinking, the blackness thing. It will. It'll clear away a piece of occlusion. It'll also clear away a rather chronic somatic for a while. You can take any chronic somatic and have the pre-clear pick up two corners of it and put the two corners of the room and have it hang there without thinking. Overt act motivators turn up immediately in this life. You want to know how to get the chronic overt act motivator that a guy is in? Simply tell him to pick up the two corners of the blackness which he is busy staring at, fix those two corners to the two corners of the room and let it hang there without thinking, just as though it were pre-clear. It'll process out. He'll just hang there. That's not a good technique, but it's fun. Chronic somatic, he'll build it up again because you're probably giving him an energy starvation. He's probably keeping it around for energy, not because it hurts. He likes pain himself. You find out the reason a guy turns on pain, he's rather triumphant. He can make a part of the body alive that hasn't been alive for a long time. Boy, he has to go around and tell everybody, look, I made this turn alive. Ha ha. Look how smart I am. I just slashed my neck from ear to ear, right? Just busted my back or something of the sort. Real smart. I got it alive. There's register on a ping meter all the time now. Okay. What does this tell you then about clearing areas, what turns up. A guy becomes certain that the area doesn't have any personalized significance, that's all. That's all there is to it. The area has no personalized significance. He's not stuck in the past anymore. Has anybody drummed up the answer of where are facsimiles?
Word book.
Anybody else drummed up this answer?
It's very cautious. You're afraid to be jumped on.
Truth of the matter is, that's the right answer. That's where you put it. That's where they are. They're mobile. People shift them all over the place and hide them under rocks and do all sorts of things. All right. Where are you going to go with a pre-clear on change processing who is definitely uncertain? Yeah, you can do it. You can do it in dozens of ways, but there's one rule that follows it along. Just let him win. Now, you find guys who are in bad shape very often get upset about letting somebody else win. It's win-lose. And they will inadvertently keep somebody from winning. Asking somebody to win in playing auditing is about the same as playing chess. If you've got a guy who feels big enough and tough enough and strong enough and patronizing enough so that he can sit across a chess table and let somebody else win game after game, you've got a guy that can audit like mad. But if you have a fellow who would be real upset if he got beaten at chess, this guy sooner or later will make a mistake in auditing. He won't let the other fellow win. Auditing goes by wins. What is win? That's just become certain of is a gradient scale win. What's failure? Failure is a gradient scale death. What's win? It's just a little bit of certainty. To let somebody have a little bit of certainty is all he's got to do. Now, all you got to do with a PC that's having the roughest kind of a time you know is just let them win a couple of times or three times or six times. And if you keep on letting them win on up the line, gee, they get to be about 9, then they get to be about 18, and then they get to be about 27 feet tall. That's all there is to it. So if you forget everything else about auditing that you know, and in the face of a case that isn't progressing, just remember this. Just let him win a few times. How can you make him win? Well, just let him be certain. Let him be certain of something. Let him obey you. Doing the thing, letting him obey you. By being certain of something. He's been beaten down, perhaps, by not being able to follow out directions he's been given. You might think it's in quite the reverse. You may think that it's because he hasn't been permitted to be self-determined. No, sir. Low on the scale, that's an entirely different thing. At Homo sapiens' level, it's an entirely different thing. It's simply this. It's just being permitted to obey. How low can you get to get a tone rise? Being permitted to obey. Actually, everybody's very helpful straight of mind. They get driven out of it because nobody will let them help. Same way, you can always find a psycho who can help something. A psycho can always help something. If you let him help anything, a tiny little bit, he'll feel better. And if you find that he can help something a whole lot, he'll get well. That's a keynote to it. Old Homer Lane walks into the sanitarium and finds this madman in a raven state in the cage. Everybody come near this madman. He'd tear him to pieces. Little Homer Lane slid into the cage, and here's this raving thing plastered with long hair and excretia was about ready to tear everything to bits. They'd forbidden Lane to go in there because they said nothing could be done, and he had argued them into letting him just go through the place. He slid inside the door, and he said to this fellow in a very quiet voice, "I have heard that you could help me." And the madman said, "How did you know?" That was a cured case. Now, nobody, of course, followed that out, or I suppose even followed Homer Lane's cases or activities on the subject, because nobody's doing it today. Once in a while, in a big emergency, somebody will take a hold of a cyclone and put his hands on a hypodermic needle or something of the sort and say, do this. And the guy is sane from there on. He's been permitted to obey. Well, remember when you get a case that is kind of shaky and bad off and you don't know quite what to do for him right off the bat? You've always got a safe entrance point on the case. Just let them do what they can do. Let them win. How do you let them win? By letting them all do what you tell them to do. How simple. They win when you do that. They become certain. Right? They become certain at least of one thing. They're doing what you tell them to do. And that's a big certainty. See how certain that could be? Well, now, there are very low levels of operation in this. And this is not the lowest level of these operations, but it's getting down there. I was just demonstrating this point this morning. I told the preclear, now sit in the chair, which the preclear was doing. Now look at me, which the preclear was doing. And the preclear felt a little embarrassed. I told the preclear exactly what the preclear was doing. I said, go and sit in that other chair. Now sit down in the other chair and take a look at me. The preclear did, a little more certainly. What had happened to this preacher? The only thing that happened to this preacher wasn't bad off. I was just demonstrating the point. But something had happened to this preacher in that had not been able to obey enough auditing orders. Had been in groups where there were more auditing orders than she could obey. And you immediately had, not trouble, but you had a growing uncertainty. She couldn't obey. She couldn't do these things. Well, there's a level of influence. Now, you just tell a preclear to sit in one chair, and then sit in the other chair, and then sit in the first chair, and then sit in the second chair, and then sit in the first chair, and then sit in the second chair. I mean, with their body. And it's fascinating. They get better. First place, they're going through motion processing with their body. And they are winning because they're doing what you say. And what they're doing, they are very certain of. Now, this technique of flopping the hands is no good as a technique unless it is done to the point where the person becomes suddenly certain of the fact that they are flopping their own hands. See, the technique is no good just to flop the hands. This was the missing ingredient in all processing, certainty. Flop, 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 flop. It's not doing anybody any stimulating his muscles or anything else, till all of a sudden you ask him, now all right, do it until you find out who's doing that. The guy does it, flop, 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 flop. Ha! I am. That's all. That's the end of workability of the technique. Just made him certain that he was making his hands flop. And what do you know? That's a big jump up with a lot of cases. They can make their own hands flop. Fascinating. They're able to do something with the body. All their life, other people have been doing things with this body, but they just never have. They're an apathy about making the body do anything, so it walks around obeying a flock of circuits, eating, sleeping, flopping, sitting up. They're not in command of it. Their first entrance of command as a body would just be in making it do something and know that they were making it do it. And the second entrance of command would be as a thetan. As a thetan, they put out an energy beam. Who put it out? They did, of course. Now, ridge running every once in a while produced this technique. If you knew how to do ridge running earlier, SOP, if you knew how to do it and didn't get anybody into trouble with it, and if you did it the first way it was outlined, not the way the originators of ridge running began to do it afterwards. They came over and we beat it apart and they said, well, this is the way we ran it, and I took it down verbatim. And I saw them use this on PC just within 24, 36 hours, and they were doing an entirely different job. Ridge running, as it was laid down at that time, was done exactly. That was put down in that SOP and is workable. All of a sudden, if a fellow does that, if he does it well, your PC is liable to come to the conclusion that, you know, I can control this body. Terrific conclusion. Laughs, too. The case just bites right straight out of a low level into an upper level. But how good is it Well, it's handling energy, so it's not terribly good, and it goes up to that point, and then it quits. It just goes up to a conclusion. A certainty, in other words. Now, when you've achieved all the certainty there is to achieve with a technique, believe me, you've achieved all a technique can do. Therefore, when it comes to clearing geographical areas, you have an expanding certainty, so you've answered that condition of process. He becomes certain, finally, that there is no significance to any of the places he might inhabit on Earth. Then he becomes more certain on the subject of the solar system, and then he becomes more certain on nearby systems, and then finally galaxies and so on. He gets certain all the way up the line. What's he certain of? He's certain that there's no further significance upon them, not that he is there. Now get that straight. He's also certain he's there. But that isn't what is we're looking for. We're not precisely headed at that in the early stages of this process. We're certain it doesn't have any significance. That's what we're heading for. So we have a negative gain. Now the positive certainty on it is the one which comes with constant drill. Do you know that an expert marksman has a certain feeling of confidence when he stands up with a rifle, draws the bolt back, slams the bullet home, pulls the trigger? He knows he's going to hit the bullseye. You want to get that same feeling instilled into your thetan. You want him, when he puts up an anchor point, to put up an anchor point. Bam! Is it there? Believe me, it's there. And it'll be there if he takes it down. Or some other something takes it down. Anyway, precision of geographical location, just as precise as hitting a target with a bullet. You can put one right and then there. And it'll stay right there, and it'll stay this far apart from another one right there. See? So we've got a stretch certainty. All right, we've got certainty and certainty. There's certainty something isn't there, which is wiping out the significance, and certain that something is there, which is the viewpoint, anchor point, or the thing. See, he can put a viewpoint. The Thetan can be in one corner of the room, put a viewpoint in another corner of the room and see with it. Or the Thetan can be at a point of the room and see with it. Or he can simply throw up anchor points and see them from where he is. So you've got this certainty of geographical location. Now, if he's avoiding geographical location, he doesn't know what he's avoiding. He tends to become inaccurate in his placement because he's afraid he will accidentally hit an area which contains a great deal of significance. We got that? Now, if you can imagine a bullseye which has a rounded face made out of very, very heavy, bulletproof, uncrackable steel, and we start throwing small, light BBs at it, and we're going to hit it right square in the middle, and yet the middle of it is so fixed that every time a BB hits it, the BB deflects and flies off to some other corner of the target. We've got approximately the same condition of a Thetan trying to put up an anchor point where he's trying to avoid looking. This fellow just never can seem to remember anything about his home state. His home state's Illinois. And he just can't seem to remember whether it's Terre Haute or Chicago there in Illinois. It's just very hard for him. He'll tell you, well, my whole childhood is occluded. What's he looking for? Well, I tell you, once upon a time, he and another kid robbed a store. And they buried the loot, which consisted of some bonbons, in the back corner of a pasture. And Papa did a lot of talking about going to hell if you sin. And the local cop there was something terrifying. So they didn't want Papa to find it, and they didn't want the local cop to find it. So it wound up with them not daring to go near the place. Now that meant that the whole farm got kind of occluded when a few weather-like incidents happened in it, you see, and the farm kind of slopped over into the local town, and that slopped over into the local people. And all the time we're enlarging this deflector face on the target, you see. And this slopped over into the whole state of Illinois, and there went his occluded childhood, occluded, but God. Every time he tries to fire or recover or do anything with an anchor point in Illinois, the thing flops out of his hands. He can't handle it because he doesn't dare look at Illinois. He doesn't want somebody. Now, this is why guilt was so bad to Sigmund Freud. People were so afraid that somebody else would look, you know, find out, that they themselves couldn't look. Therefore, when he would crack the fact that somebody felt guilty about something, he would get a resurge of case. But just between us, kind of private-like, how the hell he ever did this, I'm sure I don't know. Because I work Freudian analysis. And by freeing up a fellow's own guilt, if you were to go back overtly and free up somebody's guilt, you would first have to free up his trying to keep others from looking. And Freud didn't know a single thing about looking or anything of the sort. And so the guy's guilt was pinned down, and that's why they went to psychoanalysts for 2 years and never got any results. And the doctor always said, well, the patient came too late. That is the motto of all analysts. They came too late. And you say, why is it that 23% of your patients, doctor, commit suicide within 3 months after completing an analysis or during an analysis? Well, who, for instance? And so you name three or four, and he takes the first one, and without realizing he's being hilariously funny, he said, well, now, he said, that one came to me too late. Who's the next one, you say? Well, yes, that boy, he came to me much too late. If he'd come to me earlier, I could have done something for him. Boy, in this next suicide, well, it was the same case there. A three-year-old child, or a five-year-old child, came to me too late. They never see any humor in this, but they go on and tell you this all the time. Too late, be damned. Too late has nothing to do with it, and neither does a patient's own guilt. He's just trying to keep somebody else from looking. That's what guilt is. I don't want him to look. I don't dare look, because if I look, I'll set an example for them. Damn them, and they'll look. And so on. You always get the murderer returning to the scene of the crime to make sure that nobody else is looking. Well, the reason he goes back to the scene of the crime is to help the police look elsewhere. Fact of the matter is, the New York police have a model. The man who finds the body, 80% of the time, killed the body. About 80%. These guys have to go and make sure that nobody else looks. And that's what a fellow who's guilty is doing. It's making sure nobody else can look. All right, if you take some guy who's sold on the idea of a guilt complex inside of himself, and now you're having him as an auditor, audit the pre-clear, and ask the pre-clear to look. Oh, no, you don't. Because he'll find some way or another to keep the pre-clear from winning. How can the pre-clear win? By looking and being sure he's looking, and with the geographical location of what he's looking at. That's all. Now, stripping the significance off is making nothing out of it, and being sure they're there is making something out of it, and by taking these two things apart simultaneously on geographical locales, you achieve a certainty out of a maybe. And the whole universe becomes a maybe because people have to avoid looking at something because all these geographical locales have a significance. But the fact of the matter is they don't have any significance here in present time. You'll find your PC is running away from the galactic police of something or other. She's some dear old lady of 58, you're 68, something of the sort. And she never for a moment has ever given any thought to space opera. And you get her on a machine, and the next thing you know, she's running away from the galactic police of Arcton. So you just kind of running away from police one way or the other, and what do you know? The case has a tendency to bust up. She's guilty somewhere in the universe, and everybody is guilty all up and down the time track. So therefore, they don't dare go back and look at the area which they don't want anybody else to look at. In the past, why, so help me, it's been 10, 20,000 years since the galactic police of Arcton were after this old lady. They've forgotten all about her. The case records have been blown to atomic dust this long while in the bust-up of the Arcton Empire. Nobody cares. Do you know that today they only keep credit records for 1 year? The worst deadbeat in the country, unless he gets notorious, completely notorious, he goes to the big credit finance companies on automobiles or something like that. And he had a car repossessed. They had a lot of trouble. He skipped with it. They had to go and send a skip man after him, return the car, and sell it at the credit lot. He goes back 16, 18 months later and puts in his application to buy a car on credit. They sell it to him. Why? They don't keep records over the year. Records are too voluminous. It isn't worthwhile, because most people realize they keep records so much longer, and they never go back through the same route where there's been trouble. The people themselves police all of existence, overt acts on the subject of credit. Isn't that interesting? Let's look at your PC. He thinks he's wanted and guilty all over the confounded universe if his case is occluded. And he isn't. But to realize he isn't would, of course, be a terrible shock and blow to his pride. Because being wanted by police is a compliment to one's dangerousness. But he'll just have to take this in stride with your PC. And by running these geographical areas out, remember that you're stripping off the certainty which he had on the fact that it was significant, and you're getting rid of that so he knows there's no significance. That's the nothingness certainty. And you're getting the fact that he is there and is looking at it as the positive certainty. When he first starts in, he isn't going to have any certainty on anything. What do you do with a case that has a very, very poor visio from inside his head? I mean, he can't close his eyes and look at the room. Guy that's bad off. What do you do? I'm just saying that jokingly. Hardly anybody in the human race dares do this right now. What do you do with this fellow? Well, golly, he's not certain he's inside his head, is he? So you better make him sure there's a body there, because he probably doesn't realize it. That's funny, isn't it? But he probably doesn't realize it. So you can hit this on a gradient scale of where is he certain. And if you fool around for a little bit, not very long on the case, and you find the right inversion, the right dynamic he's inverted on, that is what he really should have certainty established on first, this case will go just wham, wham, wham. But if you start him out in some fashion or another so he can't win, you say, all right, take a look at the moon. And the guy comes in, he comes in for an appointment with you, and you tell him the first moment he's sitting in a house that's got 16 roofs above his head, and you say, all right, look at the moon. The moon's on the other side of Earth, too. He knows he can't do that. See, he just knows he can't do that, so he lost. Now, if you tell him to take a look at one side of his body, then step out and take a look at the other side of his body, step out and take a look at one side of his body, he'll find out something. He'll find out that he gets some kind of a vague impression. So he's at least trying to do this. Now, if you follow introversion-extroversion as a technique, you'll have a little more success. And if you follow just his connection, regardless of where he is, just neglect where he is with regard to his body completely, and say, feel, now get the idea you've got a right foot. Okay, I can feel that. And I get the idea you've got a left foot. Feel that? Good. Now let's feel the upper right-hand corner of the room. Now let's feel the upper left-hand corner of the room. Good. Now let's see if you got a right hand. Feel that? Okay. If I got a left hand, feel that? Okay. Now get the lower right-hand corner. Now get the lower left-hand corner. Here you go. Probably wouldn't occur to you that there is such a simple level of certainty. The guy, after he's done this a few times, is liable to start looking at his body rather curiously. You've done introversion to extroversion. Introversion to extroversion. Now you start chasing anchor points all over the room, and you, of course, are going in to a very fundamental operation. But Thetan puts out anchor points just to have space, or he puts out anchor points which are actually viewpoints and uses them to look with, or he is himself at a point, a geographical location of a point, in order to look. When people become uncertain of their geography, they become uncertain. What is the only thing a freakler can be uncertain of? The only thing he can be uncertain of is geography. That's all. Now, follow this one. If you want to take the implosions off Case fairly rapidly, put him over a road with which he's familiar, and then a road elsewhere with which he's familiar, and then a road with which he's familiar, and then a road elsewhere that he's familiar. Boy, you're really getting action. Trains will start running off. Cars, trains, airplanes, all kinds of things. Because the mesh universe is making him move and telling him he's moving. And he, as a Thetan, has a hell of a time trying to do that. He tries to approximate the mesh universe by moving in gradient steps down a highway to get the sensation of motion. He's pulling off quite a trick. It's much easier to be simply at the other end of the highway. Well, what about this idea of looking at the target and having the glance slide off? We look at the target and the glance slides off. That is the same as don't dare arrive. What is the cycle of action of the mesh universe? The guy's born, he lives for a while and dies. The cycle of action. Creation. Growth. Stagnation, decay, and death is the cycle of action of this universe. If this fellow can't arrive, he's afraid of dying. This fellow's afraid of dying, he's afraid of arriving. All this is computationally derived from unable to look at an area. If you ever get the idea that there's a terrific mound of fireworks going on right in front of him, you see a big bubbling pot of explosions and so forth, and that he was trying to put a beam into the center of it, you've got the first reason why he found he couldn't look at and arrive. It was the first time he couldn't arrive. To complete a cycle of action, then, is to die in this universe. People can't arrive. You know the phenomenon of the guy who puts an anchor point up into the corner, but it doesn't quite go into the corner? Well, he can't arrive. You see, he just can't penetrate that far in order to look at properly. He cannot arrive. That's the trouble with him. So if you just tell him to get the idea that he mustn't arrive in that corner, as he puts his anchor point up there, the anchor point will probably go up there spang because of reverse vectors. Put the idea behind it. It isn't any reason to work any ideas anyhow. I'm just showing you how this thing works out. Now, what is primary here? The behavior of the anchor point itself, or the Thetan, or the viewpoint as a class of things, or the thought which goes with it, which is the most important? Can't arrive, or the beam not touching the geographical point? The concept can't arrive, or the fact that the sight beam or the anchor point doesn't reach its exact target? Which is the most important in terms of aberration and behavior of these two factors? Concept secondary. The concept is simply a pattern of energy. And you can undo that pattern of energy. Somebody's real worried about can't arrive. Or something you can show him, you can run this out with concepts. A fellow doesn't dare complete any action because if he does, he'll die. Well, he's in the center point of aberration in this universe. That's can't look at. I don't dare let my anchor point arrive in collision with that exact geographical location because that geographical location will destroy my anchor point or has destroyed my anchor point, which I remember full well. See? See, he just doesn't want to lose an anchor point. Why does he want to lose an anchor point? Well, he knows he hasn't got very many anchor points. They're scarce. Why doesn't he want to get out there with a real viewpoint? Well, he's already got one viewpoint inside of his head, and that's all a person can have, you see. Obviously, a person can only have one viewpoint at a time. Furthermore, you get scenery tangled up when you look at it from the right side and the left side. A Thetan who's any good, by the way, can look at a flat picture from the right side and from the left side and alter the picture enough to get a three-dimensional view. Of course, it would be three-dimensional as he matched it up unless he said it was flat. General idea, you get there very easy. The anchor point's exact arrival, the exact handling, the accurate handling of the anchor point geographically depends upon the person's ability to differentiate between just plain present time geography, which has no significance beyond the fact that it's space and energy and matter, and the significance which it has had in the past. All significance is in the past. There's no significance in the present. So you just strip the significance off the case and you got a happy man. Just like all the messengers that rode forth north and south and east and west, in order to find a happy man so they could cure the Chinese emperor's daughter, all these dags around, you know, they're supposed to find this happy man, and one by one the troops came back in, reported to the emperor that they had been unable to find a happy man until the last batch that came in, and they reported they'd found a happy man. And the daughter was pining away with her last breath, and the emperor said, "Quick, quick, where is his shirt?" And they hung their heads, and they said, "Your Honor, we found a happy man, but when we found him, he had no shirt." Now, this riddle is based upon, this observation, this proverb, is based upon that one fact. It isn't how many messed objects you possess in present time. That doesn't matter a damn. It's how many duplicates and significances are you attaching to the geographical points of this universe. And if you haven't got any of those significances, you're a happy man. But if you've got a lot of those significances, you may be terribly experienced, but boy, you're sure wretched. Truth of the matter is, this universe can do nothing to you that you yourself don't do first. So, you will find that preclear who is most heavily bogged down in energy masses as that preclear who has the most significances. Now, this doesn't mean somebody who has blobs of energy drifting past his head has got significances in geography, but yes, believe me, there's all kinds of significant geography. How do you clear this? Change processing. You just get him shifting. With certainty. Get his lowest gradient scale of certainty and then kind of work him up the scale. Or just simply sit in and brutalize him and beat him to pieces and it'll eventually all come clear anyhow. You don't have to be careful with the process. Now, you will find that people do use energy to handle objects. You'll find objects, energy around the body, which has been used to handle the body. The body is a pretty automatic proposition. Frank came in the other day and said something had happened to him with regard to his body. He said, "I've gotten rid of all these automaticities except my body. Every time I try to run automaticity now, all I get is my body." Well, what's he trying to do? If he went any further along in this line, he just wouldn't have a body. A body is an automaticity. He had arrived, of course, with a complete answer. This opens up, by the way, this diagnosis system. You merely find what is the automaticity of the preclear, and you will find the dynamic on which he is chronically inverted. He mentioned that, brought it to mind a little bit. What's his automaticity? When he goes to sleep in dreams, he always has a dream about Buddha. Where is he inverted? Seven. Every time he dreams, goes to sleep, he dreams about something, he'll tell you about his dreams. Well, don't go pawing over people's dreams. It's quite fruitless. Whenever he gets a mock-up, the mock-up tends to be an animal. He gets good animal mock-ups, but he doesn't get any other kind. And the animals do the curest things. Where's the automatic? Five. He gets mock-ups, but what he mocks up really is he can always get planets and moons and stars and things like that. Where is he? Six. He doesn't dare get any mock-ups at all. Where is he inverted? Where? Eight. Ever prime. His primary entrance is bald. Primary entrance to the case is God. Contest with space. God owns all the space. He can't have any anchor points. See how that follows? God owns all the space. That means the preclear has no anchor points. You can run the concept. I have no anchor points on him. He might weep. He can't own anything. God's taken it all away. This is what it amounts to. Whether he's ever heard of God or not, that's the same concept that comes through. So, you can get and estimate by the automaticity of the mock-up. What is the most automatic mock-up? Well, we get this fellow gets purple globes. all the time, purple globes. Well, he'd be in two spots. He could be reversed in two spots, purple globes he gets on. It would certainly be seven, and it's four also. That's the entrance to the traps of Mars, which regulate the activities of bodies here on Moon. Giving some, they had to do this, by the way, in order to instill some truth in astrology. They'd want everybody on Earth to be a liar. Anyway, we have then this type of process which goes out and clears up by the inverted dynamic the most pertinent geographical area. Here you see a couple of churches and a couple of crosses and a couple of this's and a couple of titles. This is all interesting. If you put these far apart, now don't make a preacher get too close, you put these several feet apart. Either making B behind one and B behind the other one, or B behind one and B behind the other one. You can do it with a fair degree of certainty. It'll also ease up this future level because you put a mess symbol in the road of what you're trying to clear up way out in space. And so it'll unburden the engram. Did you ever hear unburdening? As you take the locks off and then you get to the engram. Reverse process. You don't take the engram out and the locks blow. Well, this is a kind of an unburdening with change processing. This technique, by the way, is a very interesting technique. Quite interesting. It's not necessarily the most successful way of doing it, but it's interesting. All right. Now, when we've got a pre-clear who has a low level of certainty, what's the first change processing that would be indicated? And how would you know what moment to change to the next step to get a gradient step? This guy's real uncertain. You tell him to be in one place. That's where he is. All right, you say, be in the chair. I am in the chair. Okay. We got over that bump. You see where you'd enter there? Now, your next step up from that would be his right shoulder and his left shoulder. You can actually have him move out on the right side and move his body, move out on the left side and move his body. But that's an introversion, remember. He's looking at his body. You would follow that immediately with making him look at the right wall and look at the left wall and putting anchor points up on the right side of the room and anchor points up on the left side. Now, how would you do change processing so as to create space and not get very intricate? Use the room or the place where the body is as one point, and then get three other points not in a plane with this body. And he'll be making space whether he wants to or not. So you can always throw making space in under the bottom of change processing without ever mentioning it. You just make him go, you've got a tetrahedron. It takes 4 points to make three-dimensional space. The smallest geometric figure of that character is the tetrahedron, and it has 1 point at the top and 3 points at the base. And that's a solid, and that gives you three-dimensional space. So you considered his body one, and the top of a tree another, and the top of another tree another, and then the top of a third tree another. By putting him behind his body at the top, tree one, tree two, tree three, body, tree one, tree two, tree three, body, he'd be making space the whole time, wouldn't he? If tree one, tree two, and tree three were all of the same height and were in a straight line, you would not be making space. You'd be making a plane. So you just figure that out. He'd be sitting in this room as point one. There's two automobiles out on the street. That gives you 2 more points. And there's one down here in the parking lot. That's 3 more points. You're making an irregular tetrahedron, which is a certain shape, but it gives you three-dimensional space. He's making space. Now you can make a tetrahedron from here and make a tetrahedron from some other place, and you're getting a change of space as change of two spaces. Dick came in this morning and told me building 8 anchor points here and 8 anchor points in the hotel room was very, very effective. It is. If it doesn't blow up the pre-clear, we can try to get him into that area because he'll become concentrated on the hotel room. Now, if you were to have a sudden violent noise in the hotel room, you're leaving him there too long. You want to get your pre-clear back quick. But at this level of case and this level of class, don't let your pre-clear go and sit anyplace for a long time. Just a little warning. We want all our pre-clears. We have some slight use for them. Another thing is, if you get the guy accustomed to operating too far away from you, too independently and so forth, he might do a bunk on you in one case or another. That won't happen here. Therefore, that technique is very usable in this class. But it's not usable as a general technique because it leaves the pre-clear out of your sight too long. You want a couple of big, strong, sharp hooks into him for a little while. Because believe me, you can process a pre-clear up to a point where he gets enough energy to do a bunk. Can you conceive that? He's just being obedient because he's too lazy to run away. And you give him a little energy and all of a sudden he beats it. And you sit there and give him a half an hour's argument as why he should come back to his body, and then you finally say to him, well, at least think of your poor auditor. Okay. That's the introduction of certainty into change processing, something you must now learn to coordinate with regard to pre-clears. He hasn't got to be certain that he's looking at what he's looking at. But you should be certain that he knows what he's doing. You know, sometimes a pre-clear will do the damnedest things, and he won't tell you he's doing them. And he thinks that you've told him the damnedest things, and you've never mentioned them. You've got them. You've never mentioned it, and something else. When you give him a description of what you want him to do, you want him to sit in the automobile. Give it to him with signals. Use your hands. Show it to him. Point. Don't depend on language. You want him in this automobile, right down there. Behind the seat, under the wheel. And we want him in the other automobile up there, behind the wheel, right there, just there, and no place else. And we want him to go that on, but then no other automobiles in the street, none. Just that automobile, that automobile. And then this automobile down here in the parking lot.